This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Joe Bevilacqua and New Chapel in Grand Rapids, Michigan. For more information, please visit newchapel.com.
This is the second part of our series, Life is a Circus. And if you missed out on last week, you missed half your life. It was so fun. And if you want to catch up with any of our messages, go to newchapel.com/watch, and you can watch all of our messages on there for absolutely free. We don't charge anything for that. Thought about a $500 love offering for a subscription for a year, but just the team shot it down. I don't know why, but you can go to newchapel.com/watch and follow up with all the awesome things that God is doing at New Chapel in this series. If you have your Bibles, open with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Life is a circus. That is for absolute sure. And, circus is professional entertainment. These guys know what they're doing, and they know that it's really more than just the acts that they're doing, that there's more to the show. They upsell for better seats, right? They're going to charge a little bit more to be closer to the action, closer to the heat. They want you to eat snacks there, so they hit more senses. So they got visual stuff. It smells like the circus, and you're eating, and it reminds you of when you're a kid, and that conjures up memories. And they want to sell memories, too. I mean, ride the elephant, have a good time, and then they want to sell you pictures of the memories so you can remember your memories, and then there's just this constant flow of extra things at the circus to try to make it more of an experience. And they're professionals at this. The ringmasters, the circus companies, they know that it's really the plus, plus, plus that equals experience at the circus. And I love the extra things. Some people are like, oh, why don't you just make it about the circus? Well, because it's not fun. You got to have all the extra stuff. You got to have the sideshow. And the sideshow is built of many different things. There's actually three primary components. The first one is called a 10-in-1. You might better know it as a freak show. And that's where you walk through and you get like 10 different attractions for one price. It's a 10-in-1. And you walk through and you see some of the crazy things. Some guy lays on a bed of nails or swallows a sword or something. And there's a different one. The second type of sideshow is one that's called a single attraction. And I was at the Tulsa State Fair in the summer of 2010, and they advertised that there was a real-life mermaid there. And it was a single attraction. It was $5 to go see this mermaid. And they had all these pictures up there of Ariel from Little Mermaid. And I'm like, you know, my gosh, you don't know what's out there. Let's go see what happens. So I paid $5. And I went behind to go look at the mermaid. And it was this like 4-foot Filipino lady that had fused together legs. And she was smoking. And she goes, hi. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I left just as quick as I went in. So I guess I saw a real mermaid. And that was a single attraction. And then, of course, there's the fair attractions. These are the attractions where you ride the elephant, or you go through the spook house, or you go through the fun house. And the fun house is the most fun. It's got all kinds of different elements to it. It's just a riot to go through it. And these circus companies know they got to have the plus. Got to have all these different things, plus this, to make an experience, to make these memories. Now, my sister and her children, my nieces, are masters of the stuff around the circus. So we had a plan as a family. We're going to go to the Shrine Circus this last year. It was March, so we all get there, and we're having a good time, and we all get good seats. By the time we get there, my nieces have already had 2 elephant ears. Now, Kai and I, we smuggle food into every movie theater, into every event, anything we're going to. Kai's got these big, massive purses, and we just got tons of food in it. So I thought I was going to be the cool uncle who's bringing, you know, treats and the little elephant peanuts, those foam ones that kind of taste like bubble gum. You know what I'm talking about? We got all kinds of different candy and chocolate and Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. You want to feel the glory of God, it's a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. You know what I'm talking about, somebody? And I just had applause over there. So we get there, and I think I'm going to be the cool uncle, but no, they've already had 2 elephant ears, and they've got light-up swords, and they're wearing balloon elephant animal hat thing, and what have you guys done? Well, we rode the elephant. Oh, man, I was able to ride the elephant once when I was a kid, and they said, oh, well, we also rode ponies. Oh, you rode ponies. That's great. What else did you do? Well, we had a big snake around our neck, and we took pictures with it. Oh, that's great. And we also had a monkey on our lap, and we went on the elephant and the camel, and we hugged the bearded lady, and we went down, and we did everything, Uncle Joe. And it's like, oh my gosh. So we sit through the first act, and it's intermission. And in the middle of intermission, I get out of the little boys' room, and I see Kaya, Kaya meets me, but we meet up with my sister Jamie, and Jamie's like, we're out of here. We got to go. The kids are exhausted. It's just a sugar crash right now. They're tired. We just got done with the first act. Half of the circus remains and you want to go home. Oh, they had a great time. We got met. What are you talking about? And it's because these circus guys, they know all the extra stuff. And we got family members like that. They blow $500 on the first act of the circus. It is just crazy. Well, it's because these sideshow things, they know function. They know experience. And they know that there's an order and that there is a function to the sideshow, to the fun house. Even though it looks like mayhem, there's a definite order to what they're doing. And that I've noticed that about wise people. Have you ever noticed that about wise people? They understand function. They understand order. I'm going to be the first preacher to tell you that God wants to bless you. He wants to do it in a supernatural way. But I've also noticed that wise people, wise Christians, have a good handle on where their money's coming from and where it's going to go. So in other words, they've grown in their relationship with Christ so much that they're not just relying on the next miracle to get them through. And I believe God does miracles. But what they've done is that they've generated a blessed life. So they have wisdom in play here, some godly wisdom. And what's happened is ultimately they know where their money's going, where it comes from, and what to do in between. Does that make sense to you? Wise people, you'll also notice them. If you speak to them, they weigh their words very carefully. They don't just say everything that comes to their mind. Wise people, there's a function and there's an order to their life. Does that make sense to you? So today, what I want to preach to you is that family is a fun house. Write it down. I believe family is a fun house. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, it's fun, but it's kind of crazy at times. And though there's some mayhem, though there's some different elements to it, though it seems crazy, and sometimes there is a design and there is an order and there is a function to this thrill, that if you learn how to balance all of it, you're going to have a great family, you're going to have a great home, because wise people know how families function. I had you open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 24. Let's read in verse 3, Proverbs 24 and verse 3. Scripture says this: "By wisdom a house is built," there's your fun house, "and through understanding it is established." I don't have a lot of scripture to share with you today, but the scripture I do want to share is pretty packed with wisdom. Like, this fun house that we want to live, this great house, this amazing story, this amazing journey called family, it is built. It's not something that's just going to happen in your life. It's not going to fall into your life. It's something that's going to take some skill. It's a built thing. How is it built, Pastor Joe? Through understanding. Through understanding, the Bible says it's understanding. So in other words, you need to understand the wisdom behind how this thing works. Because though it looks like mayhem, there's a function to this thing. And you say, "Pastor Joe, my family is a circus." What I would say to you is the person sitting to your left and right, their families are not so different from yours. And what I think is you can tame the lion, you can learn some wisdom, you can learn how to balance this thing in such a way that you can build your house. A wise house is built. So today we're going to be preaching on navigating the fun house, 5 hints to help steer family relationships to God's best. And I believe God has the best for your family relationship. Amen, somebody? Let's pray real quick. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're doing in the life of New Chapel. Father, we thank you that through wisdom, through understanding, our homes can be built. And we'd ask that you just show us that way to build this fun house. In Jesus' name. And everybody say it. First thing I would tell you is you need to navigate the maze of mirrors. What do you mean by that, Pastor Joe? What I'm trying to say is you need to be a family of authentic faith. Let me explain. When you first go into the fun house, what do you see? You see the maze of mirrors. And if you're like Kaya, you're pretty much hitting every mirror as you go in there. And laugh at Kaya. I'm hitting all the plexiglass. You know where they put the plexiglass in? You can't see if you're going through something. So she's hitting the mirrors. I'm hitting the plexiglass. We're struggling to get through the stupid maze of mirrors. We can't find our way. And then all of a sudden, you'll find one of those rooms in there, and they've got like the wavy glass and the bent glass. I like the one where it's kind of folded in like a hot dog, because I look like the tall man of God that I am in my heart. And then you get stuck inside the maze of mirrors. And the problem is when you look at some of those different wavy ones, when you look at kind of the illusion of where am I going, there's a distorted image. And I believe that our faith can sometimes be distorted. James chapter 1 and verse 22, scripture says, "If you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror." So in other words, you're in this fun house. Verse 24, you see yourself and you walk away, but you forget what you look like. Verse 25, "But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you." See, it's easy to get caught up in this house of mirrors and you see things and you're not remembering. There's no retention of God's word there. So you're losing your way and you need to navigate your way through this thing. And the anchor, if you will, the guiding light, the key to having a family be successful, the foundational thing is to have real, authentic, true, genuine, bona fide faith. And I'm saying genuine faith because I believe that there's an unauthentic faith. A faith that just it's not real. It doesn't have substance to it. It's that distorted mirror image. And you go in there and you see the waviness. And I think of that in life, like you look at your neighbors, you look at your coworkers, and you have a distorted image of what their life looks like. And you're trying to keep up with the Joneses. And what you don't realize is the Joneses are living just as much of a freak show, sideshow, circus, carnival family that you are. And in fact, just because the grass looks greener on the other side just means it's well fertilized. In other words, there's a lot of crap over there. You know what I'm talking about? And you have this distorted image of other people's lives and you're trying to keep up with the Joneses and it just doesn't work. What you need to do is you need to make a determination in your heart, in your life, what you're going to do. And Joshua chapter 24 says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You don't need to worry about what everyone else is doing. You don't wait for their approval. You don't need to wait to catch up with what they're doing in their lives. No, don't live that way. What you need to say is, hey, the basis, the foundation, the thing that we're going to guide our family on is faith. As for me and my house, as for me, in other words, as much as it depends on me, we're going to be a family that's a godly family. Like, we're going to live this thing out. Like, we're going to small group. Like, we're going to church. Like, we're going to listen to worship music on our ride home. Like we're going to be a godly family. We're going to do devos with our kids. We're going to talk to them about the new orange curriculum that they're doing at church. We're going to get one of those sheets, and we're going to do it. I've never talked about the Bible before. I don't know how to talk about that. No, grab the sheet. Talk to your kids about it. As for me in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Say amen, somebody. And that's the authentic faith that you need in your life. And if you don't do it that way, you're going to get caught in a house of mirrors. We have to move on. Number two, pass by the spinning disc. Have you guys ever seen the spinning disc when you go into a carnival? It's that thing on the floor, and it's a disc, and it spins independent of you, and it will throw you off. What I'm trying to say there is you need to be a family with intentional schedules. Like you need to pass by the spinning disc. What do you mean by intentional schedules? If you're not intentional, it will throw you off, just like that spinning disc. And yes, I'm talking about with your 15, 16, 17-year-old having open communication, having a calendar, being intentional, knowing where they're at. Absolutely. Am I talking about that? 10 out of 10, I'm talking about that. But more than that, what I'm really trying to convey is, husband, have you made provision to have a date night with your wife? Like, are you intentional with that? That's something that I did to get Kaya. I dated her to get her. I acted right. I tucked in my shirt, sprayed cologne all over the place. Guys, I brushed my teeth, you know, like I did what I had to do to get her. So what I've done is every day I'm dating her. Every day I get dressed up like I'm going on a date. And then once a week, what we do is we go out and we're just like kids. Aurelio spends 1/7 of his life with someone else. And I determine he will do that all the way up until he's 18. Spend the night at the grandparents. I don't care where he spends the night. Get a motel. But you're going away from us because I'm dating that girl because I'm going to keep her. Because at 18, you're moving out. I'm not moving out, Dad. Oh, praise God. You're so innocent. All my children are moving out at 18. And I've got this girl to live with for the rest of my life. Are you being intentional about that? Are you having a date night every week? Oh, that costs a lot of money. Look, cheapskate, it's worth the investment. There's some fights worth picking. You know what I'm talking about? And you don't have to do everything that costs money. Go down to the park, walk around, hold her hand, sit on a park bench, face her. Novel idea. Talk to her. See what's on her heart. See what's on his heart. Talk to one another. Be intentional. Are you intentional with making memories with your kids? Are you just going through the motions every day? We get home from school, here's your grilled cheese. You know, you're just doing life instead of being intentional. Are you focused on those things? Dads, take your daughters out on dates. Moms, invest in your sons. Help grow your sons up. Be intentional with your time. Because I'm here to tell you, life is very, very short. And if you're not intentional, it's just not going to work. I'm not only intentional with my direct family, my immediate family, but I'm intentional with my extended family. I had a really rough relationship with my dad through my teenage years and early 20s. And he treated me like I was, you know, six. And I treated him like he was an awful dictator. So when I went in my 20s, I was pretty happy to be independent from him. But I found out you're supposed to honor your father and mother. And I'm like, darn, okay, we got to figure this out. So I would go to him and I would honor him. And you know what's funny at first is he actually couldn't even receive honor. But I just kept on honoring. He took it as facetious. He took it as another fight. But I just kept on honoring him. I kept on investing in him. Well, long story short, over the course of years, I had to be the catalyst, but he then responded. We have a great relationship now. And he's a very difficult person. If you're watching this, Dad, you're a really difficult person. Amen. But what we've done is we found common ground and we invest in one another, and it's really good. Yesterday, we talked on the phone for 45 minutes just about life. I've talked about vaudeville and circus life. We talked about all kinds of different things because I made the decision to make an investment in my dad, and he made an investment in me. I heard about one guy, and he really struggled to build relationship with his dad. And his dad was kind of a car guy, spent a lot of time out in the garage, was really quiet, and this guy wasn't. He was more talkative, he was outgoing, he was a vibrant person, but there was a real disconnect between he and his dad. Well, what he did was he bought his dad for Father's Day a French press, and he bought him a pound of coffee. And he said, "Dad, I want to give you this for Father's Day, but here's the deal. You can only drink this coffee when I'm here. And when I'm here, we're going to brew the cup of coffee right out here in the garage. We're going to sit down, and we're going to talk about what's going on with your car, what's going on with my life, what's going on with my family. And we're going to bridge connection here because I really want to have a relationship with you for the rest of my life." And that's what they did. Do what you have to do. Be intentional about your life because your life has a tendency to drift. You need to be focused on this because life can also go really fast. Psalm 39, scripture says, we are merely moving shadows, busy rushing. That's what your Bible says. Life goes very quickly. So when you get home from work and you say, "Kids, it's dinner time," and your kids run out the front door and go stand outside the car, wait for you to unlock it because they're ready to go out to eat because they're going to go to fast food. You're going to go to a restaurant because y'all don't cook anymore. You may have a problem. I'm not saying that you have to eat at home every single night. The drive-thru's fine. We do the drive-thru. It's cool. But you need to sit down with your family. You need to talk with your family. You need to bridge relationship. You have moments. You have moments. Listen to me. Moments to build a bridge with your kids. And if you jade them and they run off, you're going to be like the Cat in the Cradle song. You know what I'm talking about, somebody? We have to move on. Number three, you need to have the right ticket. What are you talking about? You need to be a family that discovers purpose. You ever gone to the circus or gone to the fair and you're busy doing all kinds of stuff. You're riding the elephant. You're doing all kinds of things. But what you really wanted to do is you wanted to go through the fun house, but you found yourself one ticket short. It's a three-ticket ride. You have two tickets. What are you trying to say? If you don't budget your tickets, if you don't budget your life to have purpose in it, what will happen is you'll run a deficit in your life and you won't be able to enjoy everything that God has for you. We talked about purpose last week. And again, if you missed that, newchapel.com/watch. Watch the video. We could talk about purpose every single week until Jesus comes back. In fact, I'm considering it, but you need to listen to that message because purpose is key. But in context of family, I just have some questions. I want you just to ponder to yourself. Maybe you want to write them down. Are you discovering purpose with your spouse? Like, are you talking about it? I know that you had dreams when you were younger, before you were married. You shared some of these dreams, these great things that you wanted to do. But are you sharing those with your spouse now? Or are you saying, "Hey, are we on track for this? Or are we just talking a big game back in the day? And were we idealistic? Or do we need to put some feet to our prayers?" Are you drawing purpose from your kids? Look, I'm the first person to tell you your kids should be involved in sports if that's their bend. They should be involved in band or art or dance if that's their bend. Whatever it is, feed into it. But you can get caught up with those things, and frankly, they're a distraction for a lot of people. You know, you're so busy going to dance and all these different things and spend all the money on dance, and you're thinking about dance and dance. And at the end of the day, unless you're going to be a dance instructor or you're going to move to New York, you're not going to make any money off from dance. Your family's not going to grow because of dance. In fact, if anything, it's going to be a detriment. So really think, am I drawing purpose out of my kids? Am I saying, "Hey, let's dance with a purpose. Let's always keep people at the center of it." You can get so competitive and focused on your team winning the goal that you lose sight of the great things that God wants to do in your kid's life. And what happens is those experiences never happen when they're a teenager, and you wonder why they run away from God when they get into their adult years. It's because you made it about something that it was not. Draw purpose from your kids. And then I want you just to think, how can I build purpose into the relationships that God's entrusted me with? So you're at work, and you think that all those people, they're just acquaintances, or I meet with them at the water cooler, and ultimately, God put those people around you for a purpose. Are you building relationship with them? And then are you building purpose into the relationship? because you're not here by mistake. You don't work where you work by mistake. God didn't put the people, friends, family in your life by mistake. You're there to be a light. And God wants to draw purpose out of your heart. Say amen, somebody. That's why I love things like what we're doing next week, honoring our graduates. We're having an event called Dads and Grads and honoring our dads for Father's Day and our graduates for all the hard work that they did. And why I love it so much is because they're pursuing the purpose of God on their life. They're pursuing the next step. They didn't get apathetic with their walk. What they're doing is they're pursuing the next thing. And I'm so encouraged by it. In fact, if you're a graduate or you're graduating, sign up with either Kai or a guest services. We would love to honor you next week in a big way. But in the context of this topic, when you have purpose for your family, you'll especially know when to say no. And I think what happens is the busyness that we experience with all of our families and all the things that we have to do, it pulls you from family time. It pulls you from investing in relationship. It pulls you from relaxation. All of these things are essential components into having a healthy family. And if you're not budgeting your tickets, if you will, you're going to run a deficit in your life, and you can't afford to do that. If you don't know what your purpose is, of course, watch last week's message. But I would ask you the question, if there was no obstacles in the way, if money was not an issue, if nothing would hold you down, what difference would you make in this world? Let me just say, if you can't answer that question, that's why you need to come to New Chapel Connect this week. New Chapel Connect, this is the second week of that class called Essentials 2. We're going to talk about the essential disciplines of every believer. Really, for you, next week's going to be even more important. That's Identity 3, where we talk about your identity in Christ, your spiritual giftings. What we do is we try to open up, crack the egg, if you will, on all the great potential that God put in your life, because you're gifted, you're talented, and God wants to expose that and have that be used for His glory in this world. Say amen, somebody. It's really important. Next thing we have to say is number four, family features a rotating cylinder. Have you ever seen that in the fun house? It's that thing that you walk in, and it's like, oh, the room's moving. You know what I'm talking about? It's that cylinder that moves around. And I was never tall enough to put my hands up and go all the way around. I couldn't do that, but I had family members that did that. And it typically got called the barrel of love because it's centered around relationship. You get people in there and you have a good time in that thing. It's crazy. And what I'm trying to say there is you need to be a family who invites the right relationships in. Just like that barrel turns, I want you to think about your elementary age, your middle school, your high schooler, and just the steady stream of relationships that come into their lives. And you need to steward those relationships. We'll talk about that in a second, but I want you to think about it this way. Remember how vibrant relationships were in your life when you were in school? And now think about how lonely our lives can be sometimes because we don't invite relationships in. We don't invite people in. We go into our bubble, live our life, live a small little world, and we don't take the next level. We don't take the next step in our life. You know, we can't make it all about ourselves. We think of ourselves as victims. We think of ourselves as unconsidered or insecure, and therefore, we don't launch out and make relationships with other people. And I think relationships are the key to life. I was talking to my dad, like I mentioned, last night about my grandma. My grandma was in circus. She was in vaudeville. Loved that whole scene. And she was in Buffalo Bill's traveling circus. And on the road, you make not just relationships, not just friendships, but if you travel with somebody, they really become your family. And if you ever wonder why some of these guys, when you see them perform the flying trapeze or some of their acts, and you see them look over, and they'll just give a glance to their teammate, and they have the shorthand where they can say so much with just their eyes. You know what I'm talking about? And that's built on relationship. It's built on living life together, doing life together, and that is a key component for your life. God Himself expresses Himself relationally. Why does He choose to express Himself in three persons? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Why do it that way? We were talking yesterday about somebody that said, I don't believe in the Trinity. And I was like, that's like somebody who says that they don't believe in water. What are you talking about, Pastor Joe? Well, there's water, there's steam, and there's ice. There's three different faces of what water is. H2O is, but it's like the person, I don't believe in steam or ice. I just believe in water. Well, God expresses Himself in three ways. And why? Three different personalities, three different in relationship, in the Godhead. He created us as three beings. In fact, I was thinking about this week, Kai, about how in the Garden of Eden, God took Adam, laid him down, and he took his rib out and created Eve. And we just think that it was just the natural rib. But what he did was he took out something out of Adam. He took the feminine out of Adam. He took some different gifting, some different intuition out of Adam, and he made a person. Think about it critically. What did Adam have when he had Eve that he didn't have when he had his rib? Well, nothing. He was complete and whole. God created him whole. And when he divided him out, he took this awesome thing. What happened was, in relationship, they complement one another. You're created for relationship. Proverbs chapter 27, I think this is a great one for this week with the fun house. Proverbs 27, a mirror reflects a man's face, but what he's really shown is by the kind of friends that he chooses. In other words, what the Bible's trying to convey to you here is, in this fun house, in this maze of mirrors, you look into that mirror and that's what you look like. But show me your friends and I'll show you what you really look like. Like what your life really is composed of. I'll show you what your real character is based on the relationships that you have in your life. And don't get caught again in the distortion. Don't get caught in the wavy mirrors. Let me tell you how to do this. Mom and dad, when you are raising your kids, you don't need to accept every friend that your kid brings into your life, okay? You start seeing your kids bring around a relationship that you don't like. I don't like some attributes about that kid. Step in, cut it, sever, it's done. My nephews hate this about me because they'll bring friends over and I'll look at them and I just look at them for 1 second and say, I don't like you. I just don't. They'll be joking coarse. They'll be doing things like that. I don't like you. Well, Pastor Joe, isn't he supposed to be a light in a dark world? As much as he can, but I'm not going to let him be influenced by the world. I'll just look right at him and say, you should go home. Oh, gosh, Pastor Joe's pretty stern. Absolutely. You think I'm going to let anybody hang out with my kid? Not going to happen. We have a rule already set. He's not going to have any sleepovers. None. You're not going to anybody's house. Let me just ask you, frankly, and I'm not even going to go that blunt, but some of the sinful things that you did, where'd you do them? You did them on the bus, which is the fun house on wheels, or you did number two, you did them at a sleepover, right? Spin the bottle, that demonic bottle. You know what I'm talking about? When'd you look at your first magazine? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching so good. I ain't going to allow it. They want to hang out, I'll spring for pizza. Aurelio can have all of his friends come out into my house, and guess who's going to be playing video games with him? Hallelujah. I'm going to get to the 9th level with all of you, okay? Because I'm not going to allow that. I'm not going to allow kids to come in and influence my kids. My kids are going to be influencers. If they're not prepared to be a light, I'm not going to put them into a spot and say, hey, you're the PK, you should be a light. Forget that. I'm not putting undue pressure on him. He's a kid. He didn't go to Bible school. He's not going to have this PK thing. And by the by, my kid's just 8 months old this week. But I'm here to tell you, you see my kid, and he's a preschooler, or he's running around, he's a kindergartner, something like that, and he's raising heaven around this church, you stop him, swat him on the hind end, you tell him, Pastor Joe said not to do that any longer. Because I'm not going to let my kid be the PK that owns the whole church. Y'all been at that church? That kid owns the whole world because he's the pastor's not going to happen. I'm going to step in and sever bad relationships because I'm not going to allow my kids to go south. And for you moms and dads, can I just say, you need relationships in your life. And so, some of them you need to step in and sever. Some of them you need to take a next step with talking about godly relationships in your life and get into small group and get into other different things. And that's what I would tell you, small group. This is the last week of small groups for this quarter. They're going to start up again on July 11th for a really relaxed summer quarter. Some are going to meet every other week. Some are going to do some social events, stuff like that. This is the last week of small groups. So in other words, if you went this week and you're like, I don't like the small group, there's no expectation to come back the next week. You know what I'm talking about? So some of you guys that are kind of leery of small groups, go this week. That way you can kind of check it out, see the lay of the land, and ultimately make some godly relationships. We have to move on. Number five, the fifth point, the last point, the fifth hint to navigating the fun house is to enjoy the slide. Enjoy the slide. And what am I trying to say? You need to be the family with grace in every season. Let me explain what I mean by enjoy the slide. When I first went to the circus and they'd have the fun house there, I would get into that funhouse and I would run through the maze of mirrors. I'd be like, you fools. I'd be clotheslining people trying to get through the maze of mirrors. And I'd go onto the spinning discs and I wouldn't let them mess me up. And I'd go over the thing and it'd pop up the air. And I'd be like, that's a red herring. I'm still going to press on. And I'd keep on going. I'd go up the jungle gym and I'd get through and go through all of the spinning discs and the rotating cylinder. And finally, I'd go down the slide and I'd be done. But like, I did it. I conquered the funhouse. And I'd look back and all my other friends are having fun in the funhouse. And it didn't dawn on me until this week. You're supposed to enjoy the funhouse. Like, the goal isn't to get done with the funhouse. The goal is to enjoy the funhouse. The goal of family relationships is not just to boot them out, not to get them done, not to celebrate another anniversary, not 25 years, 50 years, and to just be done with all of it. That is not the goal of the relationships in your life. What you need to do is you need to enjoy the journey. Enjoy what God's doing in your life. And that's why we need grace in every season. That's why you need to invest in your family. Enjoy your kids. Enjoy them when they're young, guys. Enjoy them when they're young. Because I'm here to tell you, you're going to be watching a college graduation before you know it, and you're going to be like, what just happened? What is going on? You need grace in every season. I don't know why I bring this up, but probably 3-4 times a year, I bring up the movie Labyrinth from 1986 with David Bowie and Jennifer Connelly. I just stinking love that movie, and it's 80s fabulous. I mean, David Bowie's outfit scares me, not even a little, a lot, you know, but that's some of the entertainment of the film. But I love the movie Labyrinth, and I love it so much that I have the collector's edition on DVD. Yeah, I'm awesome. And I take this collector's, and I'm watching the bonus material, and Brian Henson, who's Jim Henson's son, Jim Henson's the guy that did the movie, did Sesame Street, did the puppet thing, and he was talking about his dad, and he was saying, my dad did this movie, and he did it as a love letter to people who are 13, 14, 15 years old, who are still wanting to play with Star Wars toys and their dolls, but also still are attracted to the opposite sex and are thinking about college. And he said that 13, 14-year-old mark is just a weird age. And he said, I made this movie, Labyrinth, to help guide them through this strange season in their life. And he said something about his dad. He said, whether you're talking about Sesame Street or Labyrinth, he said, my dad was a master of seasons. And I don't know if Jim Henson was a Christian. I'm not saying that that is a scripture from the Gospel of Jim, you know. But that really struck my heart when I started thinking about raising my son. Being a master of seasons. Because seasons go really quick. And I think about him now, and Aurelio, he's really into Daniel Tiger and like whatever he can fit in his mouth. Really, I mean, that's where he's at. But there's going to come a day where he's going to be into Star Wars toys and Star Wars movies and then video games and then the opposite sex. And then, you know, the beginnings of using his purpose and worshiping and interested in whatever's going to be in his world. I just want to be a master of that season. Like, I want to be the dad who, like, and I was never a sporty kid. I was born with club feet, so I went to T-ball, and I went to 2 practices, and I said, well, you know, that's good. I feel like I'm going to end my career, retire my jersey, you know. I just wasn't into it. And then my dad, you know, he was in his 60s when I was really, you know, doing stuff, so we didn't throw the ball. He was a designer, so we worked on perspective charts and the color wheel. That's what we did in my home. So I'm not an athletic person, but if Aurelio becomes athletic, and he's interested in track and field, or he's interested in basketball, you're going to see me out there probably looking as gumpy as anything with shell top Adidas, but I'm going to be out on that basketball court. I almost said field. On that basketball court, you know, getting that thing down, because I'm going to be a master of seasons. Do you know what I'm talking about? Because seasons go so quickly. And I want to be the dad that's present, that's engaged, that's there with my family, because those seasons go so quickly. And before you know it, you get down that slide and it's all over. You know, everybody's going to die in this room. Everybody. You're going to hit the slide. It's all going to be done. And everybody ends up somewhere, but only a few people. Listen to me, church. Only a few people end up somewhere on purpose. Boy, end up somewhere on purpose. Have a vision for your family. Have a vision for your home. And that's why one of the reasons we gave you these clown noses when you came in. Go ahead and bring this out. Did you get one of these? Go ahead and grab it. Go ahead and grab those extra ones. If you didn't get one, lift your hand real quick. I want you to get one of these clown noses. These are pretty cool. Every week of this series, we're doing a little extra. Last week, we had animal crackers, and we talked about how your family, they might be an absolute zoo, but bring people to church. Share a box of animal crackers with them and invite them. And the relationships in our lives, I was talking to a family just before I came out and preached, and they were just talking about, hey, maybe you could come to our graduation party and have some influence on my dad, my brother. I'm sure everyone in the room would love it if I attacked your family members in a life-giving way and helped invest in them, but I can do some of that. In fact, I love doing that, but the best thing I can do is equip you. Go ahead and put these on just because you never have done this in church before. Yeah. Yes, go ahead and do that real quick. Yeah, if you don't have one, now's the time to lift your hand because, yeah, right there. Now I know the ones. You thought you were too cool. Put on your clown nose. Put on your clown. In fact, you know what? Well, y'all are there. Praise God. Y'all smile. Kai's putting hers on. This area, yeah. Yeah, welcome to New Chapel, where we wear clown noses. You guys are crazy. You can take them off. Kind of makes it so I can't breathe good. When you go to the circus and you see the clown, what's the clown doing? He's looking for opportunity for relationship. And whether you're doing that with raising your kids or whether you're trying to reach someone for Jesus, I just want you to take this, maybe put it in your car. Maybe this be a cool shift knob for some of you guys that are real sporty. Maybe this goes on your mirror. Maybe this goes on your dresser drawer. And what I want you to think about is, how can I be outgoing today? How could I invite someone to church this next week? It's the dads and grads thing. It's a great week. Don't let your dad be like, I just want to sleep in and have toast and go play golf. No, you can't do that. You need to come to church. You need to do this. Be outgoing, y'all. Invest in other people. Oh, I just want to relax. Well, good. We have a wonderful place for you to do that at church. We're going to be preaching a message called Taming the Lion, and we're going to be talking about conquering relational conflict. It's going to be really cool. So if you have a graduate in your life, if you have a father in your life, bring them to church next week. Be a clown. Be outgoing. Look for an opportunity to invest in other people. Why? Life's quick. It's just really quick. I heard Brian Houston, the pastor of Hillsong Church, he said a very profound statement. He said, life is very long, but life is very short. And your life is a vapor, is what the Bible says. So my encouragement to you is, begin to navigate the funhouse. If you're listening to anybody who had a family that looks like a funhouse, that looks like an absolute zoo, it's my family. I came from a broken home. I get what it's like to go through divorce, to go through hard things. Like, I understand. I had the worst relationship with my parents and a strange relationship with many of my cousins and other family members. And what I did was I instituted some of these keys that I taught you today. We lived with authentic faith. We built in intentional schedules, moments that I can invest in you. We discovered purpose. We chose the right relationships. And in the end of the day, we had grace in every season because nobody's perfect. You want a great family, have a gracious family, because you're going to need a lot of grace, because they're people, they're imperfect, they're going to hurt you. Everybody's going to hurt you. You just need to choose the people that's worth being hurt by, and that's your family. Life is a circus. Family is a funhouse. Let's love our lives. Your life is for living. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this word today. I thank you that it changes our lives, changes our hearts. Father, I thank you that if there's anyone in here that doesn't know you, that you'd help me to find them in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed in this place. You walked in here and you say, Pastor Joe, that's a great message. I enjoyed that. I get it. But my life is not right with God. Can I just tell you, friend, I understand. I've been there before. There's no greater joy than knowing what your purpose is. There's no greater joy than knowing what your eternity is going to be. And if you say a simple prayer, mean it from the bottom of your heart, you will have an eternity in heaven. But maybe greater than that, in the short term, you can begin to define what God has given you so far as purpose in your life. You can begin to learn what it looks like to live in victory. Let me just speak to your heart for a second. If you don't have a vibrant relationship with God, begin it today. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, let's all say this prayer loud and proud. Church, say it with me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you today in search of a new way. You said in your word, if I would call Jesus Lord, I would be saved. Jesus, I now call you Lord. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for washing me clean. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, I thank you for these people that accepted Christ in this room today. Father, I thank you that they just begin to get it. They begin to get surrounded with other believers, get them plugged into a small group. And Father, I just pray that they would know in their heart that nothing's going to be the same in Jesus' name. Church, let's give it up for those people that accepted Christ in this place today. Proud of you. God is so good. Welcome to this circus called Christianity. And we're going to transition our service right now into the generosity portion. Let me just say, if you accepted Christ in here today, we have these really cool new weeklies. Y'all like these? These look great. So pleased with these. Pastor Kobe worked really hard on this. At the bottom, there's a teal connection card. If you're a first-time visitor, or if you accepted Christ in this room today, I would just encourage you to fill out this bottom card. And I want you to fill out the couple lines of information. If you accepted Christ, you can check that little box. If you're a first-time guest, you can check that. And in a second, you're going to see offering buckets go by. You can definitely put that into the offering bucket as it goes by. If you don't want to meet anybody, you want to stay anonymous, I get it. I've been that guy at church before. You can just put it in the offering bucket when it goes by. Or if you want to meet somebody, that's cool too. There's a tent out there called our VIP tent. It means very important person. If this is your first time of many, we hope, we'd love for you to go to that tent. We have a free gift that we would love to give you, a little tumbler with our logo on it, some fun information about the church. You'll really get a kick out of it. But however you do it, whether you got saved today or whether this is your first time, I would encourage you to fill out that card and put it into the offering. Well, praise God. Y'all hear that too? That's the alarm. Somebody was considering not doing that. So, yikes. Moving on. I want to talk to you guys about what happens when you give. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, scripture says this. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much you're going to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, either one of those, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. You know what I ask you guys to do every week? I have never actually asked you for anything. What I ask you to do is to ask Jesus what you're supposed to do. Because I don't want you to give reluctantly. Don't be stingy. Don't be like, I ain't giving anything. That church just wants my money. That's a really bad attitude. But I don't want you also to give because, you know, you feel drawn or I have to or I have to earn something and that's why I'm giving. What I want you to do is I want you to ask Jesus. For the partners at New Chapel, you all know, I mean, the tithe, 10%, I mean, you're beginning to do that. That's phenomenal. But for the rest of you, I would just ask you to ask God, like, Father, what's my part to play? I think we all have a part to play. And what he's going to do is he's going to tell you an amount. And that amount is your challenge. Like, he's going to meet you where you're at. Does that make sense to you? So don't give reluctantly. Don't be stingy. Don't give out of compulsion. Don't give because you think it's going to make me or God happy or more pleased with you. Give because you've purposed it in your heart. And I'm so grateful for those of you that give online. Most of the people at New Chapel do give online at newchapel.com/give, whether they give it automatically or whether they give it every week. But you can give many different ways. Obviously, in service, we're going to pass buckets. You can give by cash or check or card. We have an app for that. You can text to give. But most people are giving online. I would encourage you, if you've never done it before, ask Jesus. Like, Father, what's my part to play today? And how can I take my next step in my faith? Is that cool? We're going to pray and move on with the rest of our service. Father, we thank you for the honor of sowing the seed into your kingdom. And Father, we thank you that as we sow into New Chapel, we're actually giving to you in heaven. That Father, it's being received by a debt-free ministry that's focused on life change. And Father, we thank you that as we sow our seed into good ground today, that you pour us out a blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, visit newchapel.com.